All right, appreciate that. So did you enjoy the message from Pastor Adam last week that reminded us that we're a team? And each team has a position, and you have to be willing to play your position. I thought that was an excellent reminder. Poor guy, his team didn't win. I know, but that was a good message. So we are in 1 Thessalonians, if you remember correctly. And I'm just going to remind you of the three things we learned last time. Number one, we learned that recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in our own spiritual growth. Yay! Recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in our personal spiritual growth. Number two, we learned that we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, have been freed from the law and from judgment. And third, we learned that the first thing that we should speak, the first thing that should come out of our mouth is blessing. All right, so today, if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, that was all out of verse 1. Yeah, so today we're doing 2, 3, and 4. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. So I'm going to give you my 4 points right at the beginning and then expound upon them. And that way you can be listening for and expecting the points. We, Christian Life Community Church, we want to be known as people who are grateful. We want to be known as people who are grateful. Number two, we want to be known as a church that prays. We want to be known as a church that prays. And Pastor Van had reminded us 2 weeks ago that we want faith to accomplish all that we do. So not only be known as a church that prays, but that we see miracles. And people know when we pray that they will be helped, they will be encouraged, they will be healed. Okay, so two is we want to be known as a church that prays. Number three, we want our outreach to be motivated by love. There's a lot of things that can motivate you to reach out and affect your community, but we want to make sure it's motivated by love. His love for all mankind. Jesus so loved the world, remember? So His love being shown through us to other people. And four, we want hope to be what gives us forward focus and holds us steady. We need to be looking forward and not backwards, and we need to be moving forward steadily, secure, and it's hope that does that. How does that sound, CLCC? Sound like 4 good points? All right, so let's get started. We give thanks to God always. In this same book, in chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, so in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, it says, pray without ceasing. What? Now, does God ever tell us to do something we can't do? So that means if He says pray without ceasing, He knows we can do that, and He expects us to do that. Boy, that's going to take some practice, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. Now, if you thought that took practice, listen at this. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's Paul that wrote that. Paul the Apostle. Paul that went around and established churches. And he had such an easy life. It was so flippant. Flippant. Yeah. To say that because, you know, he didn't struggle with anything. Anybody, nobody's disagreeing with me about that? You should all be saying, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but you're not reading my Bible. Let's look at, well, you don't have to turn. Let me read this to you. And as I read it, I want you to remember that this is the guy who penned, "In everything give thanks." Okay, you ready? This is Paul. Are you going to share your halls with everybody? Or this is the teacher. And she has a bell so she can get everybody's attention in her classroom. I want to borrow that for Sunday morning. Bing, 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 bing. Are we all good? All right, I'm glad we're all good. Here we go. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Now, come on, think about that. They gave 39 because they thought if they gave 40, you would die. 39 is all a person could stand. So he had that happen once, twice, three times, four times. Come on. Just if we stop there, this is the man who wrote, "In everything give thanks." Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was stoned and left for dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. When I went through this, I'm like, boy, I can't put a check mark next to any of these. I don't know about you. Well, almost none of them. A day and a night I have spent in the deep. That meant he floated around in the ocean, in the Mediterranean, actually, for a day and a half. I have been on frequent journeys, and on those journeys I've been in danger from rivers, from robbers, from my countrymen, from the Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city. I've been in danger in the wilderness. I've been in danger on the sea and been in danger among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights. I've experienced hunger and thirst, often being without food, being in cold and being exposed. And apart from all of those things, so if that wasn't enough, there is the daily pressure upon me of my concern for all the churches. In everything, give thanks. Now, that does not mean that you thank God for the bad things that happen to us. We thank Him that He is with us during the bad things, and He goes with us through the bad things and out the other side. How else would you be able to stand being beaten five times with 39 lashes of a whip if you didn't know that God was helping you through that? So be grateful for everything that God has helped you through. Every time He's been with you through a situation and walked with you through it, strengthened you, encouraged you. I love that Pastor Chris taught us that when the scripture says to encourage one another, we use words so quickly and freely. And, you know, I'm sure if we had an English teacher among us, she would be able to say, encourage someone means to give you courage. I love that. So when the scripture says, hey, encourage one another in the Lord, I'm saying to you, in God, you can do this. Be courageous. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Some of you need to hear that today. I can tell. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be encouraged. Receive courage. Because God is with you. And you can thank Him for being with you through every situation and taking you out the other side. So number one, we want to be known as grateful people here at Christian Life Community Church. We want to be known as grateful people. Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Max Lucado. There are parts of our calling, works of the Holy Spirit, and defeats of the darkness that will come no other way than through furious, fervent, faith-filled, unceasing prayer. Beth Moore. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Martin Luther. Prayer for us should be a conversation. It should be a relationship, not a religious duty or a tradition. That was me, by the way. Prayer is simply talking to God like a friend, and it should be the easiest thing we do each day. Joyce Mayer. Any concern too small to be prayed about is too small to be considered a burden. Corey Ten Boom. Okay, now a couple scriptures about prayer. This is the confidence we have when we approach God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14. And if we know that He hears us, because we prayed in that way, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask. 1 John 5:15. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it'll be yours." I think we need to work on the believing part a little bit. Do not be anxious for anything. Boy, I need that pasted on my refrigerator, on my bathroom mirror, on the dashboard of my car. Anybody else? Do not be anxious for anything. I put a lot in that, anything. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I could say, well, but it says, be anxious, don't be anxious for anything. But, see, I love that God tells us what not to do, but then He gives us the positive. He gives us what to do instead. We learned as a men's group this week, because we're studying this, listening to this fantastic video and then having discussions, is that when we move something out of our lives that shouldn't be there, and we don't fill that void with something, guess what pops back in? Something else that shouldn't be there. So, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation. See, the scriptures are one of the few books and few conversations that can have absolutes. Always, never, forever. Because the things we say and do can't be that absolute. But this can be. And so He can say, do not be anxious for anything, because He knows it's possible. It doesn't say don't be anxious about the big things. It just says don't be anxious about anything. And then it says, but in some of those situations, no, every situation, by prayer and petition, now listen, with thanksgiving. Ah. So even in the midst of a difficult situation, you're thanking God for what He's done in the past, and that He's with you now. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So you could either try to handle it yourself, or you can present it to God. You would think by now that we would all have this down, that we shouldn't try handling it ourselves. Now, I don't know. I mean, I can only answer for the men because I'm a man. But we try it ourselves until we're so exhausted, we're passed out, laying on the floor, looking up to heaven, saying, you know, I think I could use some help with this. I mean, I don't know if you ladies do that too, but I know us men do. You know, why ask for help? I'm pretty sure I can do it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can fix this. I don't have to ask for directions. I'll get there eventually, honey. I don't know why you expect me to pull off the interstate just because the exit was 2 hours ago. What's wrong with this picture? Present your request to God, and the peace of God. See, God always likes to replace the negative with the positive. So we push out the anxiety by prayer and petition and thanksgiving. We receive peace, which is higher than or bigger than all understanding. Sometimes we just can't understand, but we can still have peace, which transcends all understanding. It will guard your hearts and minds. See, that means the truth jumps in front of the anxiety and says, nope, you can't come in. Because the truth is that Jesus is here, and where Jesus lives, there's peace and truth. It guards. It's like a soldier standing there. Guards our hearts and minds. So when we talk to God and thank God for who He is and what He's done, peace will overwhelm us. Amen. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Last three quotes about prayer. God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil. Mother Teresa. To get nations back on their feet, more of us must first get down on our knees. Billy Graham. Sounds like him. Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather a privilege to be enjoyed. A rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. E.M. Bounds. So number two. We want to be known as a praying church. The scripture verse said, making mention of you in our prayers. So that means we talk to God in our daily devotions, yes? But we also speak to Him throughout the day, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Who said you can only talk to Him in your devotions? You can talk to Him driving. You can talk to Him at work. You can talk to Him while you're showering. You can talk to Him while shopping. Is there any place you can be that you can't talk to Him? And is there any time that you can't talk to Him? We can pray in agreement with two or three others. And the scriptures mention that, the power of agreement. We can pray for others who are in need of healing. Others in need of strength and encouragement. Others in need of comfort. We can pray corporately as a local body of Jesus followers. And when we do that, we need to pray believing and expecting God to do the miraculous. So just a quick reminder, we're believing God to do the miraculous and provide a way for this, that little short me can almost touch, and actually get a cathedral ceiling. Come on. Wouldn't that make a difference? We could actually hear the person in front of us singing. That would be different, huh? So for that to happen, now I know to me this sounds like an astronomical figure. But does He work miracles or doesn't He? We need around 200,000 to do that. So we're believing God to bring in at least part of that through all of us, getting extra bonuses, commissions, raises. I just 2 weeks ago got an unexpected raise at the credit union, and so I did what I encouraged all of you to do. God, how much can I keep, and how much do you want me to give, and I did that last Sunday. So that's all we're saying, that we're going to be faithful to do our part, and then we're going to expect Him to do the miraculous above and beyond our part. Now, how about increasing our number to the point that almost every seat is filled? Come on. Can we believe that? It would take a miracle. But again, He uses all of us to do that miracle. So that means that we may need to invite some friends, some family, some co-workers, some neighbors, some unsaved people that we know, and say, hey, I attend an awesome church with awesome people who love Jesus and will love on you. You want to come join me this week and try to fill a seat in front of you or beside you or behind you? I think that would be awesome. Believing Him. Expecting God to increase also means, though, that we're expecting Him to increase and expand our influence and our fruit. You could have a whole orchard full of fruit trees and only get one apple from each tree. Wouldn't you rather have those apple trees be fruitful? When you drive through Adams County in the fall, I'm amazed. I think there are more apples under one tree than I eat in a whole year. It's like they just fall off. They can't get them ahead of time. They can't pick them quick enough. Maybe they had a bug in them. But we can be that fruitful, that what we do for the Lord affects that amount of people. And it affects them that greatly. Can we believe for that, CLCC? And that's going to happen by being a church that prays. So number one, we want to be known as a people who are grateful. Number two, we want to be known as a church that prays. The verse for number three, constantly remembering your work of faith and labor of love. Work of faith and labor of love. So we want our outreach to the community. We want the impact that we have on other people. We want, when we're handing out bottles of water at a local store to bless people, when we're in Harrisburg walking around and praying for people, whatever we're doing that's affecting the community, we want it to be motivated by love, and we want what those people say they experienced is to be the love of God. Like, yes, I think it's great that they might say, well, the people from CLCC gave me a free hot dog and a bottle of water today, but how much more exciting if they would say, and I really felt loved. Come on. Isn't that what we want? God shows His love to others through us. Yes, He did it by Jesus, but Jesus is no longer physically walking around here. We're His body. We're the... Oh, I am dead. Well, yep. So we are that physical body now. And we're the only Jesus that most people will see until they get saved and until they come into a church and meet Him there. So I want to share a little story here about outreach. I went to Paraguay with missionary and apostle Harry Valencourt, and we stayed with a pastor of a local church. His name was Tomas, and he was driving us into this very needy community. And so we were driving down the highway, and we made this really sharp right-hand turn, and I realized that this needy community was apart from all the rest of the city. This was the only road in and out. And we're driving down this road to get into this public housing. So it's third world public housing. Okay, public housing in the U.S. can be scary enough in the inner city, but this was third world. And we're driving down this street,
And all of a sudden, I started to sense the deep need in the community that we were approaching and the brokenness that was there and the things that were going on that shouldn't be going on. And I just got overwhelmed and the tears just started running down my face. And I thought, oh my goodness, how much need is here? And, you know, how are we going to make any difference? And what are we going to do? And then right behind that, God does something that he does sometimes with me, is I felt his love for those people. Well, then it wasn't just tears running down my face. I had to put my head down in my hands, and I'm in the back seat with the apostle and the pastor in the front seat. And then we pull in, and I just had to get myself back under control. But now I knew how much God loved those people and that that's what we were going there for. So Tomas visited certain people there, and this was in the middle of the day, and there was no one out. So I'm guessing it wasn't safe to be out, but when you go on a missions trip, you go where you're sent and do what you're tasked to do. So we got out, and we knocked on this one door, and he had wanted to pray for this lady's son or daughter. I can't remember. But these were little, maybe three-room public housing units. They were designed for maybe a mother and a father and one child. Most of these had extended families living in them, 8, 10, 12 people. Just picture that, all sleeping in the same room and a place to eat, probably in a bathroom. So the person came out who needed prayer, and we did that. And then the lady said, well, how about my mother? Can we pray for my mother? So then we found out, yep, mom's there too. And so like 80-year-old mom came out. We prayed for mom. I think we could have probably prayed for the whole family that was living there. But that is what our outreach should be about, is that they feel loved, they feel cared for, they know that God loves them, and somebody, maybe not their neighbor, but somebody cares for them and loves them. So Jesus loves the needy. He loves the lost. He loves the brokenhearted. But the question we have to ask is, do I? See, sometimes it's sort of scary to be around the broken, the needy, and the lost. Sometimes we insulate ourselves because everybody we know is Christians, and most of the things we do are places we go. But Jesus loves the needy, the lost, and the broken. Do you and I? So let's look at this one story with Jesus. Jesus is going around the city of Jerusalem, and a lot of times the needy are coming to him. But in this case, he goes to the lost and the needy. It says he goes to a pool that's near the sheep gate. What do you think goes in and out a sheep gate? Livestock. And when you're driving livestock in and out of the city, what do you think is the evidence of that? You can guess. So he did not go to the local Hilton, to the in-ground heated pool, to visit the rich and wealthy, did he? Dory and I made a trip to Honduras with a church and a pastor friend of mine. And we went one day to visit a community of people living next to the city dump. And to get there, you had to walk like under some things, and it was definitely a secluded place that was not easy to get to. And when you stepped into that community, you can only imagine the smells and the sights. And people were in shacks, like one-room shacks. So Jesus steps into this pool area where everybody who's laying around there is sick. Come on. lame, blind, deaf, sores, wounds, bleeding. Just picture the sights and the smells. I mean, I have no idea if you're laying there and you're lame like this man was, what do you do for restroom facilities? Hole in the ground? I don't know. You just go on your pal and throw it out at the end of the day? I'm just trying to be real here. Because when we go out to the lost and the needy, there's smells, there's sights, there's words we might not like. Let's be real. Jesus went to them. Is our outreach motivated by love? So this man had been lame for 38 years. Not 38 days, not 38 months, 38 years. Jesus heals him, and it's on the Jewish Sabbath. On the Sabbath, a Jew is not allowed to do any work. Healing was considered work, and telling the man to pick up his mat, you couldn't carry anything. That was work. Jesus said, "Arise, take up your mat and walk." I don't think Jesus was concerned about religious tradition. He loved people. And if he was walking through the pool that day, he was going to heal that man. It says, instantly, the man was healed. Instantly. So why did Jesus do that on the Sabbath? Why did he go there with those smells and the sights? Because he loves the sick, the wounded, and the sinner. Do you and I love the sick, the wounded, and the sinner? So number one, we want to be known as a people who are grateful. Number two, we want to be known as a church that prays. Number three, we want our outreach to be motivated by love. We want our outreach to be motivated by love. And the last point, we want hope to be what gives us forward focus and what holds us steady. Forward focus. See, we can choose where our focus is. That's always our choice. And often, my focus is on what am I going through right now? What is happening this morning? What is happening today? Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat, focused on Jesus? He was walking through the storm above the waves. I have situations that I'd like to walk through the storm and above the waves. But how many of us do what he does? He did. We start, boy, how am I doing this? This is impossible. I shouldn't be able to walk over this water. And look at those winds and look at those waves. And I hear some thunder, lightning might be coming. And where do you end up? Down in the ocean, being overcome, starting to drown. What changed? Your focus. Absolutely. Focus. So we want hope to be what gives us forward focus and holds us steady. This verse was, "We remember your steadfastness, your perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So our hope needs to rest securely in Jesus and nothing else. Because who knows, he's the only one that can't be shaken. If we put it in the doctor's report, we could be shaken. If we put it in the stock market, we could be shaken. If we put it in a political party, it could be shaken. If we put it in another person, even your pastors, it could be shaken. Because we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We can't do the miraculous. Only he can. So our hope needs to be in him and him only. Jesus said, I am with you. Here we go again. Another one of these words. Always. So what does always mean? Does that mean most of the time? Sometimes? Come on. I am with you always. You know what I struggle with? Is when I can't feel him. It didn't say, I am with you only when you can feel me there. Or when you can't sense me, that means I left. I am with you always. Oh my. All right. I've been speaking for 20 minutes. I think it's time that we stand and we're going to say always three times. Let's do that. Then we'll be ready to finish this last point and move into communion. You ready? Jesus is with me.
Always.
Jesus is with us.
Always.
Jesus never, ever leaves me, whether I can feel him or not, because he is with me.
Always.
Always. Amen. You can sit back down. Thank you. I appreciate you cooperating with me in that. All right. I wanted to read this verse out of a version I don't have with me. So let me grab that quickly. Psalm 18. So I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this. And what does encourage mean? You take upon yourself new courage. All right, right book, right chapter. Let's get to the right verse. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my Savior, my God. Is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from all of my enemies. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. See, even if you lose your focus on Jesus and you start to sink and you start to feel like you're going to drown, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. Come on, think about that. What does that look like? That looks like Jesus reaching down to Peter, grabbing his arm. And do you think Jesus struggled to lift him out of the water? I think Jesus probably went, whoomph, and there's Peter. And they walked in over to the boat. Come on. He reached down from heaven and rescued me and drew me out of deep waters. If anybody's in deep waters today, you can say, God, I need rescued. I need you to reach down and lift me up. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. He delights in you today. He wants to rescue you today. He wants to save you today. Listen to this. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. He has given me his shield of victory. God, your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet, and you keep me from slipping. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. Come on, that is good stuff. He Psalm 18. Psalm 18. He is our hope. And placing our trust, our security in Him, we can courageously move forward. See, we don't move forward just trusting in one another, even though we have to do that as a team, trust in one another. But our ultimate hope and trust has to be in Him. Has to be in Him. He has a plan and a purpose for us as individuals. He has a plan and a purpose for us as a church here at CLCC. Okay, so the 4 points. We want to be known as a people who are grateful. Grateful for God's faithfulness. Grateful that He never leaves us. We want to be known as a church that prays. Praying without ceasing. Praying at all times. Praying for one another. Praying for the needy. We want our outreach to be motivated by love. And for our community to experience God's love because we went to them and brought God's love to them. We want our hope in Jesus to be what moves us forward and holds us steady. Now may the God of hope fill you. The God of hope. Now wait, it's even in His name. The God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. Who needs some joy today? Who needs some peace today? This is a prayer, a blessing that we can pray. So I just want to speak this over you, and you just say, God, I'm opening to receive from You today that which I need. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing so that you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Father, come today, and even as we just quietly commune with You, come and meet with each one here today. Give them fresh joy. Allow peace to overwhelm and push out all anxiety in their lives today. Come and give us fresh hope so that we are even overflowing with hope. Hope for the future. Hope for us to accomplish Your plans and purposes. Hope for You to do the miraculous among us and through us. And then, Father, give us Your love for the lost, Your love for the needy, Your love for the hurting, Your love for the broken. So that as we encounter them, they encounter Your love and they're changed. Because they have felt Your love, because they've encountered Your love, because they've experienced Your love. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Amen. Okay, could I have the servers for communion come up?